Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. I am back and alive, thank God, from my guys' ski trip, what I do with my old coaching buddies, 15 years in a row now, which is awesome. We went up to Jackson Hole, had a good time. Amazing place if you've never been there. But this episode, and again, the Raheem Morris DC news and all that stuff happened while I was out of town. I want to spend, man, I have thoughts on thoughts on thoughts on this. So I want to talk scheme, want to talk even versus odd front, want to talk Shanahan loyalty program, what this means for secondary players, pass rushers, all those different things, free agency, draft, like the implications, you know, in the hierarchy that is the 49ers organization. It's Kyle Shanahan one, and from a coaching perspective, the DC is two. Special teams coordinator three, giant drop off, right? Like there, it's a three-headed beast of people who have control. Kyle Shanahan by far the most control, the DC second most, and then the special teams coordinator, that's where that's going to come through last. And again, let me just start off by saying this. I love the Raheem Morris signing. I absolutely love it. He was my number two from the jump whenever everybody was available. I had Jim Schwartz one. I had Raheem Morris two. Now, way down the list was Gus Bradley. I wouldn't have been upset, but wasn't really feeling that one. I love this signing personally. And, you know, my cousin, shout out to Travis. He don't listen to the show, but he's a diehard Falcons fan. Most of my family's from Georgia, right? I have Texas family and Georgia family. And so whenever they hired Raheem Morris, I was like, dude, that's an A-plus hire. I would love for this guy to be the head coach of my organization. Class act, you know, players are going to love him. Everybody's going to love to play for him. It just didn't get it all together. And the different personnel, roster decisions, draft trades, you know, whatever else, they were just out on the cusp looking in and so close to, you know, doing some really impressive things. It's just wasn't there. And maybe Raheem Morris is just one of those guys that just needs to be a coordinator. He's won a Super Bowl as a DC with the Rams, which, you know, we hate that, but the experience is just off the charts. So I could not be happier about this signing. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew, coming in strong for the start. I know I've been gone for a few days, so I apologize about that. But, man, I was so excited to get back and just talk football. I got a couple breakdowns done over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. We were still breaking down and just added some tape on the divisional round, which is hard to watch. And so some of those things are a little fresh. I might bring those up a little bit later. What's up, Kevin? He says, should we feel good about this DC hire? Yes, I really think that you should. And I don't want to be rude. Okay. Sometimes I'm rude. And usually whatever I say, like I don't want to say anything mean or I usually say something rude. A lot of people get stuck on what they've seen recently. And so, like, whenever you're looking at Raheem Morris and, like, well, he coaches a 3-4 front. He coaches a penny front. He coaches, like, he doesn't coach a wide nine. Let me just help you understand. That is so elementary in the coaching world. It's not difficult to transition from an even or an odd front. And the 49ers played a bunch of five-man fronts this year, which isn't your prototypical 3-4 or whatever else. But Raheem Morris has 14 seasons coaching in the NFL with a four-man front. Like, this is not foreign to him. Now, whenever – and I love coaching, like, lineage and, you know, where you take this from and that from. And so, yeah, when Raheem Morris went to the Rams and took over – you know, kind of that Wade Phillips odd front 3-4, you know, kind of at defense, Shell on top, Fangio, Wade Phillips hybrid system. Yeah, they stuck with that. Why? Because the personnel was that. Then you see them go to the Falcons, and you're like, man, they still were running kind of a 3-4 or a five-man front, whatever. But, like, you have to understand what their personnel was. They spent two first-round picks on the two most undersized speed edge rushers in Jalen Walker and James Pierce. I was super high on James Pierce, by the way. Jalen Walker I was high on, but James Pierce, I really liked his tape. He had some off-the-field concerns, but 10-plus sacks as a rookie, probably going to win defensive rookie of the year, whatever else. But, like, that was the personnel that they had there. Now, they targeted that and built that around there, but you got to understand, Jeff Ulbrich was the DC. Four-man front throughout his entire history before, the last few years with the Falcons. So, like, this is not a difficult transition. And I know a lot of people get hung up on, like, well, oh, does this mean wide nine's gone? No, it does not. It's not going anywhere. Why? Because the personnel that the 49ers have in-house. Look at the defensive ends that the 49ers have. Nicholas John Bosa, the dude's huge. Mikael Williams, huger, not even a word. Sam O, big O dude. The only defensive end that you have in-house on the roster currently moving into next year that fits that undersized 3-4 outside linebacker hybrid player is Bryce Huff, which do we have examples of Bryce Huff in a Vic Fangio scheme? Yes, we do. How'd that go? Vic Fangio couldn't use him. He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl because Fangio couldn't use him to cover because he's not a hybrid player. He's undersized. He's a quote-unquote speed edge rusher, but he doesn't fit that scheme, and that's why they played without him. So I'm here to tell you right now, I feel very, very, very good about this DC hire. Would I prefer to have Robert Saleh? Yes, I would. Would I prefer to have Jim Schwartz? Yes, I would. But for me, the tiered rankings on the defensive coordinator, whatever, was Jim Schwartz, Raheem Morris, giant gap. And so you got one of those early on guys. Now, so Kevin, to answer your question, how should we feel? You should feel really, really good about this. I think that this is a very positive hiring. The players are going to absolutely love playing with this defensive coordinator. And he's going to bring some fresh ideas. The amount of experience that Raheem Morris has, it's off the charts. Multiple head coaching jobs, multiple DCs, multiple schemes. I mean, this guy has every single tool from a schematic standpoint, 3-4, 4-3, 4-2-5, 5-1, you know, 5-2 over, even seen some bare front. Like, this dude can do it all. And so the 49ers will go from one of the most simplistic, that's kind of Robert Saleh's thing, is just have, like, super simplistic defense to be able to spice it up a little bit if they so choose. I absolutely love this hire. I really, really do. What up, JC? Moore's coming in hot with his stamped Shanahan loyalty card. You cannot underestimate how important the Shanahan loyalty program is. And so back to Jim Schwartz, right? He was my number one. But you've got to look at it. And look, every single team wants Jim Schwartz, including the Browns almost took him as their head coach. And they lost so many coaching opportunities, the Browns, for their head coach, because they said, you got to take Jim Schwartz. You got to take him. Like, he's sticking around. He's under contract. That makes it even more. So, like, Jim Schwartz might not even be available. Yeah, he might be able to force his way out. You're going to wait a long process, but that's how that's going to go. You could miss the guy that you want there. So, yeah, Jim Schwartz is awesome. It never worked with Shanahan. Jim Schwartz is an a-hole. Like, and I don't mean that, like, in a negative way. Let's just be really honest. Like, that dude's difficult to work with. Shanahan's difficult to work with. That's why he always brings in players and people that he knows and he's been with in the past, because he's a demanding coach. Raheem Morris and him have worked together for 6 years, six seasons at three different stops. They coached at the Falcons together. They coached in Washington together. Come on, man. Like, they've been together multiple times. So this is, yeah, that Shanahan loyalty program, it is a big deal. Big deal. Big deal. I want to hear your thoughts on Raheem Morris. So I'll say this. The versatility is a big deal to me. I think that what you are going to do, because again, are you still keeping Bullocks, who's been the DB coach for, I don't know, 9 years? Are you still keeping Johnny Holland, who's been the linebacker coach for 9 years? Are you still keeping Kucerik, who's been the D-line coach for, 7 years? Like, if that's going to – you're not changing things. So you're going to morph Raheem Morris into your program, which that's exactly what Sean McVay did with Raheem Morris in L.A., and they won a Super Bowl with it. So – I just really think that this is a very smart move, and probably one of my favorite things about the whole Raheem Morris everything is last year it was Robert Saleh or bust. And if you didn't get Robert Saleh, you were going to go with Brandon Staley. And I did not like that. Like, I, not that Brandon Staley's a bad coach, but I just didn't like that. Like, he is somebody without experience. Brandon Staley had no experience in like a 4-3 or even the defensive back scheme that the 49ers run. Like, there was no overlap there. Raheem Morris has been in this system for 14 years or an even front up front, right? Sorry, I gotta, my nose is coming off the mountain, still struggling a little bit. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Now, so you have the continuity. You have the longevity of an experience that he's going to bring to it. I think you're going to get a little bit more variety from a defensive standpoint. I really do. I think we are going to see some five-man fronts. That is awesome. I mean, I just finished going through some extra tape in the divisional round. Shoot, even Robert Saleh, there was a five-man front that we ran out there where freaking Alfred Collins was a defensive end. Your three interior guys were Kalia Davis. You had Jordan Elliott on the nose and C.J. West in your three technique. And then Keon White was your defensive end. Like, you can do some of that stuff in short yardage. And Raheem Morris is – that's he's a mix-and-match personnel guy. That's one of the better things that he does is – he's going to adjust the defensive personnel much more so. And what I want to see happen, and probably this is one of my critiques of Robert Saleh. Did you guys know Upton Stout played 18 snaps? 18 snaps in that divisional round game? 18. That's it. 53 defensive plays. He played 18. That's a problem for your best defensive player on the year. And yeah, there's not a lot of quality defensive players, but like my defensive MVP, Upton Stout, like that dude was him. 18 plays, and the 18 plays he was out there were pretty freaking great. You're pulling him for Jason Pinnock and Garrett Wallow. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Don't expect that near as much with Raheem. He's going to keep his studs out there, and that's what kind of that 5-1, that penny defense where you have five men on the front, one linebacker, that gives you five defensive backs. Get Upton Stout out there. Keep that dude out there. So from a schematic standpoint, he's not near as closed and rigid as Robert Saleh is, which works because when defense is simple, you don't have to think as much. And that helps players like number zero, Renardo Green, who's still football IQ, still costing him big time on several plays. He played awful in that divisional game. I think everybody knows that. S1K Friday, appreciate you. John, I was starting to get withdrawals. Need my 49ers rush to function properly. I apologize. I don't take a lot of time off. And so I know it's difficult whenever I do leave for an extended period of time, but I'm back. You guys are good. We'll have live shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. Friday, I'm going to take some time off with the fam, but then we'll be back. Probably not going to do anything Sunday for the Super Bowl. We'll be back Monday. I just don't care about the Super Bowl. Not going to talk about the Super Bowl. I'll post bets for the Super Bowl over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page, but that's about it. I don't give a damn about either of those two teams, and doesn't mean shit to me, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'll watch the game, but I'm just going to stay home and watch it with my wife and just chill. No party, no anything. It's funny. It's pretty cool. Like, we got invited to host some events this weekend, and I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to celebrate. I don't want to be out there, and it's just not me. So, yeah, anyway, we're here for 49ers. That's it. That's all we're going to do. Monkey, he says, really looking forward to the secondary youth development. The defensive back room was bad this season. Really, really was. And Raheem Morris is going to contribute in a very positive way. In my opinion, we haven't had defensive back development since Steve Wilks. And I'm not saying Steve Wilks was a success, and people always get mad at me, but I'm like, dude, Jair Brown looked like a stud under that dude. Everybody looked good. Since then, Sorensen, god-awful. And this year, not great. Demo, I think, had one of his worst years as a pro. The penalties, and I don't know. So I would like some development for guys like Malik Mustafa, guys like Marquise Siegel, guys like Renardo Green, guys like Demo, guys like Upton. You've got talent. You have youth. You just got to develop it a little bit better. And so, yeah, I'm with you there. What's up, Alex? Appreciate you, man. John, this seems good. This is very good, my friend. Yes, it is. I love it. Hopefully, Morris will get us a ball-hawking safety. That would be ideal. And as we transition to draft work, which, you know, Monday, right after the Super Bowl, I got a couple stuff I got to get lined up, but then it's going to be draft time, draft research. So over on the 49ers Rush on our Patreon page, it's breaking down draft film and getting our draft book ready and going through prospects and getting everything ready, building our big board. That's the season. Tis the season, baby. Draft time. But yeah, we need a ball hawking safety. Somebody with speed and ball skills that can play that single high spot. Kawachipto, what's up, man? It's wonderful to see you in here. Schwartz was my 1A, Raheem 1B. I agree the same way.
What do you think Morris brings? Do you think we'll be looking to add more safeties? You've got to add, going into the 2025 season, depth was a concern. Depth was a major concern across the board. Now, you had all those injuries, forced to play guys like Garrett Wallow and Marquis Siegel, and, you know, you had to play a lot of people. At one point, six of your top six defensive ends were injured. You had to develop. So now, do those snaps matter from a backup situation? Sure. But I think you've learned some players you can't really trust. And from a defensive spot, yeah, like 27 is not a player I'm building around. He's had one good year. He's had two horrible years under two separate DCs. Does he rebound back to his rookie, whatever? I am adding safeties. You know, my starting depth chart for the safety room would be Malik Mustafa and Marquis Siegel, but neither one of those guys makes you say, yeah, this is our stalwart for the next 5 years. Even Malik Mustafa was really bad at many, many games. There's flashes, but the consistency isn't there. And that's a big deal for me. Consistency is everything for me. We do not have a consistent safety. Yeah, I'm excited about Marquis Siegel and what he shows. Hasn't been great. Hasn't been consistent. Has liabilities. Yeah, he can tackle and he fits the personality you want. Jair Brown, I'm not cutting him because he's on a rookie deal, but there is nobody in that safety room that I would say is safe. No safe safeties. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to add more people to that room. Now, do you do a high pick? Probably not. Probably not. But maybe you bring in a veteran, and, you know, if I'm just looking, you know, the safety position is probably the most devalued position in the NFL. Kobe Bryant, Seattle, you know, he's a safety / corner, would love him. Brian Cook would love him. Cam Curl would love him. Jacoby Brisker would love him. There are some options out there. Jalen Thompson, not bad. Kevin Byard's 32. That would be awesome. Like, there are guys that you can get hella cheap. Nick Cross. Do you go free agency there and bring in some experience because you have so much youth? Or do you stick with what you got? Yeah. Ben, appreciate you, brother. Feel good about Raheem sticking around a while, continuity. He's going to be on the HUD coaching carousel soon. I doubt he's the solo one and done. And the positive news is if he's here for 2 years and leaves, you get the comp picks, third round comp picks whenever he leaves for the minority hire. Coaches don't usually get third head coaching chances. There's a chance he's going to be around here for a little while. Kawachipta, Atlanta literally was a wide nine last year. Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever they do that 3-4 over, or sorry, 4-3 under, or yeah, it's there. It is definitely there. So a lot of those people don't watch tape. I know you do. And so it cracks me up when people are like, oh, 49ers are getting rid of the wide nine. And I'm just like, you guys, oh my gosh. Anyway, I love them, and that's cool. Just would strongly disagree, and we'll see how it goes. Usually these things play out, and then they act like they never said those things, and that's okay. Totally cool. But maybe they do get rid of the wide nine. Nothing about this hire would suggest that. Nothing. Sin, I want to say thank you for the super chat. You are incredible. You are amazing, girl. I don't give a damn either, and I usually enjoy going to Super Bowl festivities. Not this year. Not for me. Not for me. Super Bowl is usually something to celebrate and whatever, but I'm just, nope. Just nope. Big Tone, my man. He says, besides you, I listen to Dieter. Like you, he does a lot of film and a lot of draft stuff. He always says safeties are destiny, which is, why is that, do you think? The 49ers do not value the safety position. They really, really don't. You look at what they've drafted. The highest they've drafted was 27 Jair Brown in the third round. Outside of that, Talon Ofunga in the fifth round. It's pretty much it. Malik Mustafa, fourth round. Like, it's not a premium position in this defense. It's not a valued position in this defense, and the NFL has not valued that. Being 100% honest, like, I haven't started my draft work yet. Now, whenever I start my draft work, I don't sleep very much because I love it so much. And, you know, we're going to go ham here with a 49er slant as always. I do think that safety is important, but you do have guys in-house. You do have guys in-house. You still have Malik Mustafa for two more years. You have Jair Brown for one more year. You have Marquis Siegel for three more years. You had that. That's three. That's a young safety room. So if you draft another safety, you're going to go with four young safeties? Like, I want a veteran presence on that back end, personally. I want a veteran. I think that that is a place that you could spend money, get a great return on your cap dollars, and something that is consistent, and that will elevate the young safety play that's besides there. I really, really do. So, yeah, we'll see there. Bullock is gone. There we go. He went to Green Bay. There we go. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Yeah, he's gone. I'm behind in the chat. There we go. Yeah, chat's blowing up. I love it. All right, let's see here. Let's scroll through these. What's up, Oscar? Appreciate you, man. He says, I love the question, but more than anything, how our players fit more scheme and game plan. I can see Brown, Bosa, Bethune not fitting what he wants to do. Bethune's a weird fit in today's NFL. Coverage liability guys are a thing of the past. And so what you do is kind of what Robert Saleh did with Gifford, where you put him up on the line of scrimmage and you basically use him. You know, that's that 4-3 under, that five-man front where you slide that up. He's not good on special teams. Kind of played out of position as the Mike. He's a Sam-only kind of guy, but whenever you have every single one of your linebackers on the starting roster injured, you got to make things work. So, yeah, Oscar, I'm with you. Sometimes you play with what you got, and you can get in trouble. But That's the NFL. Whenever you have 53 roster spots and you got 16 practice squad, like sometimes you got to cook with what you got in the fridge. And we ain't got time to go to the grocery store, or we ain't got money to go to the grocery store. What we got's what we got. So we got to figure something out. We got to eat. You got to play. So let's throw what we got in the fridge out there and see what happens. If you would have told me you were going to have a playoff game with Eric Kendricks, Garrett Wallow, starting linebackers, like, figure that out. How the hell do you get from this to that? Rough times, man. And sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes it's just like that. And, you know, there's no team in the NFL that has stud positions with stud backups at every position. Yeah, you can load up on some, and that can mitigate some of the injuries, but when you stack injuries, and this is, you know, I say this all the time, when you stack injuries at positions, you are screwed in today's NFL. And there was a point where six out of six linebackers were out, six out of six defensive ends were out. Those are premium spots. Premium spots. You got two tight ends out. Christian McCaffrey not playing the second half. You got wide receivers just being a joke out there. Sometimes you got to play with, you know, watching the third quarter of the divisional round, and we're out there in 11 personnel, the 49ers, and your three wide receivers are Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson, and Sky Moore. I'm sorry? Like, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and those are your three wide receivers on third down. Sky Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, and Kendrick Bourne. Only one of those is an actual NFL wide receiver. I apologize. That should be, like, only one of them. And it's not Kendrick Bourne. It's not Sky Moore. And the funny thing is Sky Moore fell down on that play. Like, it was bad. It was really, really bad. So, anyway, take that for what you will. Like, you got to pick and choose where you're going to be shy. And whenever you do the younger, cheaper offseason approach, which I think might have been necessary, you look at the dead money and whatever else, $100 million dead money on a less than $300 million cap. You're playing with one arm tied behind your back. You add the injuries, playing with two arms tied behind your back, and you still made the divisional round. Pretty damn incredible. But whenever you play that younger, cheaper mindset in free agency, you sacrifice depth and you sacrifice veteran leadership. That's why you got so many young guys. Well, now they played. So now the benefit is 2026, where these young guys have snaps. Can't say that on the offensive side, right? Jordan James didn't play until the divisional round. Never played Jordan Watkins. It's kind of redshirt year for everybody on that side. But we'll see how that plays out. All right, let's get to, if you are going to bet the big game, you know where you got to bet with.
Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie.
I love this from Maria Red. I'm curious to see what players may follow Raheem to the Niners. And so if you pull up the Falcons free agents, I think that there are some options for sure. And so there's a handful of guys, and I know the big one is everybody talk Kyle Pitts, and the Falcons players love Raheem Morris. Everywhere Raheem Morris went, he's beloved by the coaching staff, by the players, by the media for the most part. Like, he just never put it together as a head coach in his two stops. He just, for whatever reason, it's not everybody's a head coach. Not everybody's a head coach. But Kyle Pitts, you know, I don't think that that is a wise use of money personally. Yes, that would be awesome. But can Kyle Shanahan ever use George Kittle in another receiving threat tight end? We've never seen it. The dude can't even get Jake Tonjes on the field ever win 85 plays. I think that that is a mistake. Shanahan is one of the most creative play callers against schematic rules in NFL history. But him adapting his personnel usage, we have never seen it once. You don't see it. It's 21, and, you know, it is 12 personnel, but one of them's a blocker, one of them's a receiving threat. We have never seen Kyle use two receiving tight ends together where, you know, you just ain't seen it. And now the NFL's doing all this 13 personnel with three tight ends, especially in, you know, the Rams and everything. Shanahan don't do that. And so is he going to change? I don't know. Now, Luke Farrell, that dude needs to be cut ASAP. I never want to see that dude put on the red and gold ever again. I'm not a negative person. I try not to be negative. Some people will probably disagree with me. Get that dude the fuck off the team. He's absolute horse manure. One of the worst signings. The one position he spent for, and the dude can't block, can't catch, can't run. Special teams is what he's best at, but for the amount of negative plays, dude, there were plays in the second half after Ton just got hurt, where Brock Purdy's first primary read was 89, Luke Farrell, and he'll open up to him, and Luke Farrell's open, and he's just like, you can almost see Brock just like, really have to throw to this guy? So then, like, because Brock's a machine, he's going to go with the first primary read. But when Brock don't trust you, he ain't throwing you the damn. Luke Farrell needs to be cut. I don't even care if it's negative cap, get him out of here. But to replace and spend, you know, $12 million a year on Kyle Pitts, Kittle, how long is he going to be out? I don't know. I don't know. Not that Kyle Pitts would make the 49ers better, but I don't know. I'd rather spend on a safety or an offensive lineman or a center or a pass rushing defensive tackle. I know. In the fantasy football world, everybody wants sexy whatever. I want an X wide receiver. Kyle Pitts is not that. But if you did put Kyle Pitts in the Juwan Jennings role, that could be fun. That could be fun. Arnold Ebiketie, edge, I think that would be an awesome, you know, speed edge rusher. That would be cool. Caden Ellis, linebacker, 31. I wouldn't mind it. Leonard Floyd, who we are paying finally off of our books. Should have kept him instead of Yetur Gross-Matos. Leonard Floyd played every single game, by the way. Yetur Gross-Matos, one of the worst signings. There were a lot of bad signings by the Niners. That dude, I just can't stand dumb football players. it's a problem. Dumb and injured, that's even worse. David Onyemata, 33 years old, D lineman, no. D Alford, yeah, maybe. Dude, that D Alford, the corner, 28 years old, get him on a cheap deal, $4 to $6 million. Like, he's a good number four corner special teams guy. Like, that is the type of guy that I could see the 49ers bringing in as an extra outside corner. I would love that. Tyler Allgeier, zero chance. Elijah Wilkerson, guard. So those are kind of your UFAs, unrestricted free agents that could be available. Kentavious Street. Yeah, that's awesome. Ronnie Harrison, safety. Yeah, another option, you know, to be like a number three. So those are the Atlanta free agents that could possibly be there and kind of what that looks like. Monkey, appreciate the super chat. Since we're at the point of seeing who may want to come over, how much do you think this constant injury bug plays into free agents wanting to come over? Not that big of a deal. Maybe some of your dumber players that are, you know, really big into conspiracy theories and stuff. Maybe those guys. But nah, man, it's not really a thing. If a team wants you, there's only 32 teams. You're leaving one team. Now there's 31 teams. Yeah, that's if somebody's paying you millions of dollars, you go play. You want to play for Kyle Shanahan. You want to play for Raheem Morris. You want to play next to Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. You want to play like with a stable quarterback and Brock Purdy. Like, this is a desired place to be. And so, yeah, maybe not the dumber players or, you know, whatever else, but are those really the guys you're targeting? You know what I mean? Like, kind of. You could take that however you want to. Dan, what's up, brother? Hope everything's all right. Can't be too many coaching opening with eight having new coaches this year, right? 10 new coaches, right? And yeah, they're all kind of filling up. And so the DC spots, there was a lot of those, a lot of OC spots. They're filling up. I just saw the Giants just got Matt Nagy as their offensive coordinator, so they're filling up. And so we'll see there. Right here, who would you look to replace Bullocks? I know you have more who you added last year, but is that going to be an in-house promotion? Is Raheem Morris going to pull somebody? That's the thing with Raheem Morris coming over. Most of the spots are full. So let your DC pick a couple spots. Because, you know, Kyle Shanahan's loyalty program's off the charts. And so a lot of the coaches aren't being replaced. So, yeah, you just let Raheem Morris bring over whoever the hell he wants. Maybe you promote from within house. I'd be cool with that. Yeah, right here. Deal says, can I interest you in Alec Pierce and Kyle Pitts? That would be awesome. Put Kyle Pitts in the Juwan Jennings role, the number three slot wide receiver. You put Alex Pierce in the X. You just fixed your vertical threat. Now you have speed on the offense. You have guys that can separate. You have big play, whatever. Yeah, I would absolutely love that. Now, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. You're talking $30 million right there between those two players per year. Now they're young. They're perfect scheme fits, whatever else. I'd be totally cool with it. I ain't mad about that. I ain't mad about that. you guys are awesome. Don't bother me. What's up, Steven? I'm comfortable with the fact that Sala drafted some young talent that showed promise. The new DC just needs to be able to develop that talent. There's a lot of young guys. And whenever you spend so many resources on the defensive side, man, CJ West was great. Alfred Collins showed signs of being great. Consistency is still the issue. Upton Stout, he's a freaking home run, right? Upton Stout's a home run. Nick Martin hasn't played. You have to see what that looks like, but overall, not bad drafts. The best is Upton Stout, but Robert Saleh wouldn't even let him play. 18 snaps? Really? Really? Do with that what you will. Right here, if Greenlaw and Armstead get cut, they're going to be Titans, right? Probably. And I would bring both or one back and be fine. Armstead a little less so, just because, you know, little less so, but I doubt either would want to come back here. They want to go be valued. And I, yeah. So anyway, you can look into their own personal comments that they've made. But yeah, I'd bring them both back. I'd have no problem. Armstead basically didn't miss a game after he left here. Yeah, do with that what you will. Let's see here. Right here. What's up, man? My man, Russ. Rusty. We were playing phone tag yesterday, man. Appreciate you, buddy. He says, does Lynch address the staff that is supposed to prep against avoiding these injuries? Absolutely not. Why would they? They never have. They never will. Don't expect that to change. They are as stubborn as possible and as loyal as possible. And so they just chalk it up to whatever. Do not expect to change there. I love Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch leading this team. Does not mean they are perfect. And, you know, I'm not a big fire everybody guy, but the entire staff that has to do with strength and conditioning, and I'd replace the entire thing. I would go throw the most money. You look at the money that Jed York has and that he's gotten from the city of Santa Clara. Dude, go use that money there. Go use that there. The amount of money they're making on the Super Bowl, go use that money. That's not cap dollars. That's just the owner needs to spend some money. I would overhaul that entire thing. Injuries are still going to happen. And the funny thing is, when the season ended, if you just look at the raw number of injuries, the 49ers were not the most injured team in the NFL. But whenever you look at cap dollars lost, all pros lost, starters lost, they were the worst in the NFL. And so it was much more of, you're losing such pivotal pieces. That was the killer. That was the killer. And I really do wish that they would, you know, kind of go over and look at that stuff. Yeah. So anyway, Jake, what's up, man? Appreciate the super chat. The GOAT John Chapman. I like that. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Can you teach me the difference between defensive techniques, i.e. a three technique, four technique, etc., and what type of players' physicality you get from them? Okay, so the 49ers operate in a wide nine, okay? And so the easiest way here, I can probably pull this up. Let me see here. D-line technique. Let me find a decent. Here we go. We can make this. Oh, we're over on Reddit. We're going to be in trouble here. All right, let me go back. We're going to find this. Here we go. This should work. Let me make this just a little bit larger so everybody can kind of see this. And let me share my screen for you guys. We're going to make this work. I'm a smart man. Let's do this. Here we go. So this is kind of your D-line technique numbers. I'm getting this from Shaken in the Southland. This is a 4-3 over front and just kind of the different shades. So the offense and kind of like the A-gap, B-gap, C-gap, whatever. This is your run game alignments. And again, if you guys have subscribed to the 49ers Rush or our Patreon, go to Football 101. I have an entire video series showing film. I cannot put that up here. The NFL will flag it and take away whatever else. But I go through visually and show you all these different things. So that is there. But from just your technique numbers, where they line up, like zeros right on top of the center, one gap, that's a little bit off, one or a shade. One is inside of the guard. It's really a two eye. So this chart I'm a little upset with already. Two eyes inside shade of the guard. Three is outside shade of the guard. So we run a 31. And so to the straight side, let's say there's a tight end to the defensive right. We will put our defensive tackle in a three technique, right? That's going to be CJ West. That's going to be Kalia Davis. Those guys. The backside, we're going to play a one technique. That's going to be Alfred Collins. It's going to be Jordan Elliott. They're usually your bigger, stouter guy goes inside. The three technique is usually your smaller defensive tackle. Not always. If they're a leverage player or whatever, then that could change. So we do a 31. Three to the strength side. The tight end side usually is the way they call that. The three there. And then the wide nine, right? So that's the wide nine. The wide nine, a lot of times, if there's a tight end, you line up outside there. But if there's no tight end, you still line up in that nine, and that's where you have the defensive end all the way out in space. You see Bosa in that tilt. Even though there's not a lineman in front of him, They call it the wide nine because you line up way out here, even if there isn't a tight end. So hopefully that hurts, or hopefully that helps, doesn't hurt. But that just kind of shows you, you know, just the alignments. I disagree with this chart and kind of how they do that, but there's so many different ones out there that show that. But again, go sign up. 7-day free trial on our Patreon page. Links in the description of the video. Sign up. Watch some draft videos. Watch some breakdowns. Go to the football 101 section. Run fits. What cover three is. What cover six is. What quarters coverage. Run gaps. What's inside zone. What's outside zone. If you want to learn football from a 49ers perspective and kind of what the 49ers do, we have a whole series of videos. And we'll probably build on that as well. Second part of your question, Jake, what type of players physicality do you want for those? Usually the closer to the center, the more stout that is. Now, that's not always the case, because whenever you had Javon Kinlaw, they would play him in the three technique, even though he was the biggest dude on the field, right? So, and Eric Armstead, who's huge, you could play at the edge or inside. Those are there. But yeah, hopefully that helps. Awesome question, Jake. Thank you. Noam, what's up, my man? Appreciate the super chat. Need your be down of Seattle Super Bowl as prep for the draft. Yeah, I would like for Seattle to get destroyed, but I don't even want the Patriots to win. But my breakdown for the Seattle Super Bowl, I don't know, man. I'm going to wait for all of the injury reports to come out, and we'll look at that. And once we get that, I'll place some bets on where I think the odds are in favor, and we'll post all those things. But, yeah, I hate Seattle. And, yeah, the breakdowns, they're up. So the breakdowns are up on the 49ers rush. I've got one more. I'm going to get that done in the morning. But then we'll be put that shit to bed, because I don't want to ever watch that game again. It's so bad, man. It's so bad over there. Ooh, I mean, no gusta. Right here, Logan, I can honestly see the Niners drafting the safety with Raheem. I would not be upset. And you look at just kind of what's available at the safety position. You know, you've got Caleb Downs. He's going to be going top 10. I don't think that that's going to be an option. Emmanuel McNeil Warren, the safety out of Toledo, he's kind of, you know, in the early 30s on the big board. Dylan Thieneman, safety out of Oregon, that's a possibility, but still a little bit of reach. He's kind of 40s territory. I'm just looking at, you know, NFL mock draft database when you're looking at where the 49ers pick. I doubt first round. But if somebody falls, who knows? And I do not mind spending on a safety. You know, you look at just where the 49ers are picking. 27 in the first round, 58 the second round, 92 the third round. There are going to be options. You get down to those 90s, and again, I haven't watched film on these guys, so just understand this is just kind of where they're being slated by consensus. Zakai Wheatley, safety at Penn State in the third round. Genesis Smith, safety Arizona third round. Jalon Kilgore, safety out of South Carolina third round. Like, there are options that will be available. And I love that third, fourth round value for the safety if they fall there. I kind of want a veteran. I do. I kind of want a dead. We'll see. Right here, Kawachipto. I think they like their three technique to be bigger to help cover the alignment of the nine technique. They swap them a lot of times. And now with the shifting and the motions and all the jet sweeps, what Shanahan kind of brought in, like, you can have that idea and line your guy up in the A gap and then switch to the B gap after the motion, but they're kind of interchangeable is where that has gotten. Doesn't mean that's always the case. But Alfred Collins plays a lot of B snap or B gap snaps. You are correct. Plays a lot of A gap snaps too. They like guys that could do both. Versatility, right? You see John Lynch say it. That's kind of where they are. Right here, Tiananmen will be going late first. Same with the kid for Toledo. Yeah, we'll see. I can't give an educated opinion on that, and I'm not going to be somebody that's going to say something I don't believe in. Right here. Chappers, did you see Jed York downplay the substation theory on the Up and Adams show? I did not watch that. I'm probably not going to watch it. I like Kay Adams. She's awesome. I'm not the biggest Jed York guy. Is it plausible deniability? Could Jed be a liability if found? I don't know. I'm not a legal guy. I did teach law studies for a while, but no, that's not me, man. I'm not a substation guy. I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm just not. And I'm not going to be. I'm going to talk about what I can't talk about. Big Brick, John. Who do you see getting released, traded, cut loose from the defense to better fit Raheem's scheme? Then do we get replacements in the free agency or draft? I don't think a lot of guys really need to be cut. You know, I'll spend time going through kind of cap casualties. I think that's probably going to be the biggest, you know, guys that you can save a lot of money if they do get cut. But all those players got cut last year. And so if you just look at like cap savings, man, let's go through this. You save $3 million if Jake Brindle gets cut. Let's do that. Bryce Huff. I cut Bryce Huff. $5 million. You get $5.3 million if Bryce Huff is cut. I don't think that that's a bad thing. I would rather spend that money on Arnold Ebiketie. Like, Bryce Huff was so bad for the past 2 months. Now, the counter argument is, well, whenever Bosa's around, he's good. I was very unimpressed. Dude, run gap filling, couldn't do anything. His technique is so bad. I don't know. I'm kind of out on Bryce Huff. I would prefer the money and spend on an Arnold Ebiketie. You know, bring him over. He has time with. How did Ebiketie do last year? Let's see here. I want to see what his stats are. I don't know if I can spell his name. Yeah, I did pretty good. The past draft work has done well. You look at just his career, 16 and a half sacks, only 2 sacks last year, but not much worse than what Bryce Huff did. So he's a situational pass rusher with 16 and a half career sacks. You can get him a little cheaper. I don't know. Something to think about. Let's see. Jair Brown, you get $3 million cap savings if he's cut. I'm cutting him 100%. Etur Gross-Matos is a void. Can't cut him. $3.6 million if D. Winter's cut. I might cut him. Outside of that, there's no major. Isaac Grindo, $1.1 million. Yeah, I might cut him. There's not a lot of crazy cap-saving deals you can do with the players on your roster. Really aren't. Because last year you kind of did, you cleaned house last year. So that's just the way it goes. There's not a lot of spots. So if you're cutting guys, because you don't want them in the building. Not because, man, we're going to save a lot of money if we cut this guy. There's literally $5.3 million for Bryce Huff, $3.6 for Jair Brown, $3.6 for D. Winters, $2.9 for Jake Brindle. Man, that's about it. $1.8 for Keon White. Hell no, you keep Keon White. Yeah, I mean, there's just not much there. $1.1 for Darrell Luter. Yeah. Bunch of 1.1 guys, but not a lot there. There's not a lot of pennies to be found under the couch. You did all that last year. So, yeah, that's where that is. Bobo, I want offensive line in the draft. I do too. One day replace the silverback. Draft a tackle that could play guard and then kick the left tackle. Like, that's where the premium value is in the draft. Like, draft you a tackle, kick them into left guard, and then kick them to left tackle eventually. Yeah, I am with you, man. Yeah, I'm with you completely. But cut Huff and bring the Huff Talanoa Funga back. I would love that. I would love that. Right here, we can't draft at just about any level of defense with the first pick. Doesn't matter. Dude, yeah. I'm excited about the draft guy. I'm really excited about the draft, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I'm pretty pumped about that. And again, we'll see. It's time for me to dive in. So I got one more breakdown of the Seattle game. And then after that, it's all on draft, baby. It's all on draft. You guys are incredible. It's wonderful to be back. Have to say thank you to Dorian Campbell, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill, executive producers of the show. Until next time, you guys are great. And as always, stay strong, faithful.